This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Out protested in D.C. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Monday, August 13. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A gathering billed as a white civil rights demonstration drew barely a couple of dozen people near the White House. It was counter-protesters who brought the numbers.
Federal investigators have recovered the flight data recorder and human remains from a plane stolen from SeaTac Airport that crashed in Puget Sound.
Brooks Koepka won his second major of the year, beating Tiger Woods by two strokes to capture the PGA Championship in St. Louis.
And bargain shoppers, beware. There are certain things that just aren't worth purchasing secondhand.
Sometimes you can't be sure of a secondhand car seat's history, especially if it's not coming from someone you know. And if it's been involved in a crash or had an expiration date as set by the manufacturer, you know, there are certain seats that have been recalled. So if you don't actually know exactly where the seat came from, it can be a bad idea to buy it.
Market Watch reporter Maria LaMagna on items you should not buy used. She's here in about 20 minutes. It was supposed to be a white civil rights rally near the White House, but only around 20 people showed up. Yesterday's small crowd was dwarfed by thousands of nearby counter-protesters, some waving signs denouncing racism. Jason Kessler is the white nationalist who organized the rally.
I'm okay with sharing this country with people from around the world, but if you bring in too many people at once, it's not the same country anymore. And that's what they're doing, and that's why a lot of white people feel aggrieved.
He told the National Park Service he expected 100 to 400 attendees. Many of the counter-protesters saw symbolism in the number of people who turned out.
It was almost laughable. I hope it's a reflection of what America stands for, and that we will not stand for bigotry, we will not stand for white supremacy, and the numbers were a direct reflection of that.
The rally marked the anniversary of last year's mayhem in Charlottesville, Virginia, in which white nationalists and their supporters clashed with counter-protesters. On Saturday, anti-white nationalist groups also held events to mark the anniversary. Federal officials have announced that they've recovered the flight data recorder and human remains from the stolen commercial airplane that took off from SeaTac International Airport and crashed into a small island in Puget Sound. The FBI recovered the cockpit voice recorder from the aircraft, and the National Transportation Safety Board is processing the data. 29-year-old Richard Russell is presumed dead. Authorities don't know why he took the plane for an hour-long joyride, but he could be heard telling air traffic controllers that he is just a broken guy.
I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them.
The audio was released by a site called Broadcastify. Mr. Russell is not a licensed pilot. No structures on the ground were damaged by the plane, which sparked a small wildfire. In a written statement to the media, Mr. Russell's family described him as a faithful husband, loving son, and a good friend who didn't mean to harm anyone. Omarosa Maganalt Newman, former West Wing aide and reality television star, secretly recorded a conversation she had with White House Chief of Staff John Kelly in the Situation Room. On NBC's Meet the Press yesterday, she discussed her departure from the White House, saying she felt threatened by Mr. Kelly's approach to her while learning she was being removed from the job. As NBC played the recording, she called it a very obvious threat.
I think it's important to understand that if we make this a friendly departure, we can all be, you know, you can look at your time here in the White House as a year of service to the nation, and then you can go on without any type of difficulty in the future relative to your reputation.
Ms. Maganalt Newman was terminated in January for alleged ethical violations. Staff members aren't usually permitted to carry cell phones or recording devices in the Situation Room, which is a secure facility designed to allow for sensitive national security discussions. She's making the rounds, promoting a new book. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. In the past 10 months, more than 25,000 immigrant mothers and their children caught illegally crossing into the U.S. at the border with Mexico have spent their first weeks in the country living in a sprawling compound of trailers, tents, and playgrounds. Wall Street Journal immigration reporter Alicia Caldwell visited one such compound called the South Texas Family Residential Center in the tiny town of Dilley. Alicia, what did you find?
The middle of nowhere, town of about 3,000, a little over 3,000, and this complex just sort of sprouts up from, you know, ranch lands surrounding it. There's a nearby traditional prison. When you go into this facility, it's a compound of basically trailers. Imagine, you know, those temporary buildings that schools put up when they need more classroom space. Yep. That always inevitably become permanent. That's what these are, essentially. And a couple of tents as well that serve as cafeterias and gyms and such.
So what was it like inside?
It's not the jail, quote, that a lot of people, I think of, including myself. I had not been in one of these facilities. Very open, lots of green, or in this case brown because it's Texas, space, open space. There's playgrounds and just a lot of space between buildings. There's no shade either, which in the Texas sun in August is not fabulous.
Wow.
People would shade themselves with like notebooks and documents and files that they had as they were making their way between lunch and picking up kids from their classroom setting, because there's school on the grounds for the immigrant kids who are there with their parents. And what you've got is about 1,500 or so kids and moms. It's all moms and their kids in this facility. They stay in this place for up to 20 days. The average right now is 15 and a half days. We're told a couple of people, some people at least, have been there longer than 20 days, but we don't have details on that. The 20-day is important because there's a court ruling or settlement from 1996 that's been updated a couple of times. Basically bars the government from keeping immigrant kids in jails or any facility that is not a licensed child care facility for longer than 20 days.
Mm.
So generally these folks come in and they leave within about 15 and a half days. They start their immigration process there at the facility, and that includes asking for asylum or some other protection or refuge in the United States. And generally, most of these folks are then released into the interior of the United States, and their cases will take years to wend their way through the system. It's important to note, these are families that have been apprehended at the southwest border, generally from the McAllen area, after having crossed illegally. And they're seeking refuge or some, you know, asylum or what have you in the U.S. And like I said, that's a process that for most of these folks will take years to complete because of court backlogs and so on.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal immigration reporter Alicia Caldwell. She's written a piece entitled Inside a Texas Detention Facility for Immigrant Families. Help me understand the logistics. They're arrested because they have arrived in the U.S. illegally. Why aren't they just like turned around and deported? I guess it's not that simple.
Right. Correct. So logistically speaking, most of these families are from Central America or countries other than Mexico. So you can't just turn them back to Mexico because they're not from there. So you have to return them to their home countries. Because most of these folks will apply for asylum, they're entitled to a series of interviews and potentially hearings depending on the outcome of their first interview, which is what's called a credible fear interview. So depending on what happens with that, they could go on to see a judge eventually. They could appeal and ask for another interview if it's determined that they don't have a, quote, credible fear. But most are passing that initial stage and, as I said, being released into the U.S., some with ankle bracelets for the moms and everybody with a court date and a notice to appear at an immigration court somewhere in the United States where they're eventually headed.
Thanks, Alicia. Wall Street Journal immigration reporter Alicia Caldwell. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Important events to mark the anniversary of the deadly violence at a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, were largely peaceful, With police making just a handful of arrests in Washington, thousands of people wanting to send a message that racism isn't welcome gathered yesterday outside the White House to protest a planned white supremacist rally in a nearby park. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser was relieved there were no reported injuries.
We think we were largely successful in making sure that those First Amendment activities were able to happen, and we maintain peace and order in our city.
In Charlottesville, the mother of the woman killed at last year's rally said the country's racial wounds still have not healed. The rival Koreas have agreed to hold a third summit between their leaders in Pyongyang sometime before the end of September. Today's agreement comes amid an ongoing nuclear standoff between Washington and Pyongyang. The two leaders first met in April in a highly publicized summit and then again in May for more informal talks. Former presidential advisor Amarosa Manigault-Newman is drawing fire from allies of President Trump and national security experts for admitting that she secretly recorded her firing by Chief of Staff John Kelly in the high-security situation room. Manigault-Newman said on NBC's Meet the Press that she surreptitiously recorded a number of conversations in the White House for her own protection. She also said Kelly made veiled threats to her if she didn't sign an agreement.
The Chief of Staff of the United States, under the direction of the President of the United States, threatening me on damage to my reputation and things getting ugly for me. That's downright criminal.
A former National Security Council spokesman called the tapes a serious breach of protocol. Brooks Koepka has won his first PGA Championship playing poised and mistake-free golf down the stretch amid ear-splitting roars for Tiger Woods and a late charge from Adam Scott. At 16 under, Koepka finished 3 shots clear of Scott and 2 ahead of Woods.
The roars are, the crowd was unbelievable with the amount of people that were out here is incredible.
Koepka became the 5th player to win the U.S. Open and the PGA in the same year.
What he's done lately has largely been overshadowed by everybody cheering for the return of Tiger Woods.
It's kind of unfortunate, but I guess it gets everybody excited on the whole course.
I think he's kind of a quiet guy, too, which adds to that. How about the fans? I watched some of that yesterday. Very exciting stuff. And the fans in St. Louis were bananas.
I know. It sounded like a college football game.
Exactly right. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. Everybody loves a bargain, and there are many great items to buy that are used, including furniture, cars, clothing, even workout equipment. But sometimes it just goes way too far. Here's this morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
Furniture, cars, workout equipment, prom dresses, all things that are perfectly fine to buy used already. But as MarketWatch's Maria LaMagna tells us, there are some things you should never buy secondhand. Maria, let's start with baby cribs and car seats. What's wrong with buying them secondhand?
Yes, so those can be really pricey, and obviously people like to get hand-me-downs, but the issue is you really have to know how safe these items are. You know, there's few things that you probably want to spend money on more than your baby's safety. That's really important, and sometimes you can't be sure of a secondhand car seat's history, especially if it's not coming from someone you know, and if it's been involved in a crash or had an expiration date as set by the manufacturer. There are certain seats that have been recalled, so if you don't actually know exactly where the seat came from, it can be a bad idea to buy it.
Along that same kind of thinking, helmets are something you shouldn't get.
Yes, similar issue. You might not know if your helmet has been involved in a previous crash. Maybe someone, already crashed with it on, and it could have sort of hairline fractures in it that you can't detect with just your eye. So you really want to find a new helmet that has a Department of Transportation sticker or one from the Snell Memorial Foundation. Both of those do tests on helmet safety, and you really want to get a new one and make sure it's certified by one of those organizations.
Maria, this one's a little bit creepy to me because I wouldn't think of doing it, but I could see where somebody who's maybe stretched a little bit would go for a used mattress.
Yes. So that's actually kind of a common thing. I live in New York City, and people often try to sell mattresses, but it's a bad idea for probably an obvious reason, which is bed bugs. Mattresses can really be host to bed bugs, and those are also very small. You can't see them until the problem is really out of control, so it's probably not worth the risk of bringing in an old mattress. Bugs can actually get into your rugs, clothing, furniture, so it might start as a mattress problem and then become a whole apartment or a whole house problem.
We're speaking with MarketWatch's Maria LaMagna. Makeup is something that I wouldn't think you'd get used, but perhaps you wouldn't know if it was used if it was still in packaging or something.
Right. And, people who are really into makeup, I think, are especially things that are highly in demand. You know, you might be looking online and be willing to take something that's used, but that's another one that's kind of obvious. Used makeup can have bacteria, fungus, can really hurt you, so it's not a good idea. Even if you're tempted to get it, you know, you should really get new makeup.
Maria, smartphones is on the list. What's wrong with buying a used smartphone?
Yes, so this one was kind of controversial. I got some comments on this one, but the problem is you may, if you're not buying the smartphone from someone that you know, you run the risk that it's stolen. And if it is, you know, you have to kind of look up how to detect if it is or not. It's not the easiest thing to tell, and you might not be able to use it at all if it ends up being stolen. You know, not to mention you're maybe benefiting from someone else's bad luck. So smartphones are kind of a risk. There are some websites that are, you know, that sort of verify where the cell phone came from. So you may be able to find one on one of those. But if it's kind of a Craigslist situation or, you know, just person to person, it's pretty risky to get a used cell phone.
This morning's Jennifer Koshenka with MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, August 13. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Former White House aide Omarosa Manigault Newman secretly recorded a conversation with Chief of Staff John Kelly in the Situation Room. Human remains recovered from a plane stolen from SeaTac Airport that crashed on a small island in Puget Sound. Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison, deputy chair of the DNC, faces allegations that he abused an ex-girlfriend. Elvis fans can now get married at a new chapel at Graceland. And the best one-liners on highway signs. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. The U.S. economy recently got its best report card in nearly 4 years. Russ Wiles at the Arizona Republic, who writes about personal finance, says if growth truly is ratcheting upward on a sustained basis, as the White House suggests, then that could alter the outlook for stocks, bonds, housing, and other investments. Russ, explain.
Well, you know, we've been in a very modest growth economic environment really since the recession ended. I mean, we've had a couple quarters of spurts, but of higher growth, but they've been more of an anomaly. We've really been, you know, chugging along at that 2%, maybe 2.5% growth rate. As you know, though, that would be since the recession ended in early 2009. But this latest second quarter GDP number for the government announced by the government 4.1%, much higher. And then in the White House, particularly Treasury Secretary Mnuchin is coming out saying that, you know, this could be the site of the start of 4 or 5 years of growth of 3% plus, fueled in part by last year's income tax cut. So I just thought it'd be interesting if we are going into a higher growth economic period, you know, what might that mean for investments? And I will caution that not everyone thinks, you know, there's a lot of skepticism as to whether that second quarter GDP number will continue. I mean, it could. We've had some, you know, some spurts before, but assuming that we are ratcheting up into a higher growth period, you know, what would that mean for investments?
Yeah. Before we get into that, you quoted the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, talking about potentially 4 or 5 years of growth in that 3% plus range. Naysayers might say what to counter that, and as to why that may not be possible, for example?
Well, for example, we've got some tariffs either pending or going into motion, and there was some concern that maybe growth was kind of spurred by businesses doing a lot of exports right before that happened. They were using soybeans, for example, as an example. Soybean exports. So there are a lot of things that can affect the quarter by quarter numbers. But the tariffs would be the big asterisk there in terms of, was economic activity juiced in the second quarter a little bit because U.S. businesses were preparing for tariffs.
You have a little sub-headline in your piece that talks about tailwind for stocks. What's the argument that there could still be room to run?
Well, I mean, it seems crazy because we're already at, about over 25,000 in the Dow. We've had a tripling, really, in the market since the expansion began. But, multiples really aren't that high, depending on, I don't think they're really that high. Depending on which valuation measure you look at, they could be a little bit pricey, but they're certainly not, I don't think, supercharged, as you would expect 9 years into a bull market. Now, I will say that if growth does pick up from here and interest rates keep rising, they have been increasing. It's been somewhat muted, but if interest rate increases make stocks a little bit more volatile, that would be a concern. But I just can't see if the economy really is ratcheting up to a higher gear. I just don't see a bear market starting.
Wow.
Usually bear markets come when there's a recession on the horizon.
We're speaking with Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic, which is part of the USA Today network. He's written an interesting piece entitled "Nation's Strong Economy Could Supercharge Stocks." Stock returns, but watch out on bonds. So what about bonds here in this scenario?
Well, very simply, as I said, if interest rates do continue to rise, and they have been inching up lately, not dramatically, but they've been starting to push higher, bond prices would be hurt. That would be bonds, holdings in bond mutual funds, bond ETFs, whatever. The very simple rule there is that bond prices move inversely to interest rates, and longer-term bonds would feel it more. In fact, already bonds are kind of flat for the year, even including the interest income that they've generated.
What about on the housing front?
Well, I think housing conditions are reasonably good, provided, again, that interest rates don't push up too quickly. Mortgage rates right now still are 4.5% range. They're still pretty good, I think, from a long term perspective. If inflation does increase, mortgage rates, which are pegged off the bond market, are going to rise too. So that's something to look at. But in general, our homeownership has dropped about 6 percentage points over the last decade. So I think there's room to add some new home buyers.
Thanks, Russ. Russ Wiles from the Arizona Republic. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. The guy to my right can be found at @RadioGavin1. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning, stranger. Well, we know that some animals can be intimidating to humans if they're hungry, injured, or just big and ferocious. None of these adjectives seem to fit the description of this animal, however. According to police, a German man called police because a baby squirrel wouldn't stop following him around. As reported by The Guardian, police in the southeastern German town responded to the call and indeed found the squirrel running after the unidentified man. However, soon after police arrived on the scene, the squirrel abruptly gave up its pursuit and laid down and fell asleep. After investigating the incident of rodent harassment, police officers figured the tiny animal had likely become separated from its mother and followed the man around in search of a new home. Officers took the small suspect into custody, then eventually turned him over to an animal rescue center. Two other baby squirrels were reportedly also brought to the animal rescue center that day, though only one of them appears to have had a run-in with the law.
Ah.
Not just a squirrel, to embarrass the guy even further, a baby squirrel.
That's right.
You know, then next you'll hear like it was an injured baby squirrel, you know, that had like one gimpy leg or something.
It's an interesting analysis, though, that they think he was, you know, was separated from its mother.
Yeah.
And just wanted a new home.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you, bud?
Yeah. I mean, again, you wouldn't think a squirrel would sort of pick a human as its sort of number one target to go after. But
right.
Who knows? I guess desperate times call for desperate measures.
To say, cue the Desperado music from the Eagles.
I guess so. And staying in Europe for a moment, Gordon, for tourists soaking up the sights of Rome, the Trevi Fountain is a popular location for a quick selfie. But the scenic spot descended into chaos last week when a fight between two women erupted into a brawl so wild that police were forced to attend. According to Fox News, it all began when a 19-year-old female tourist from the Netherlands and a 44-year-old Italian-American traveler wanted to snap selfies in the same position. A local newspaper reported that the duo exchanged heated words as they both jockeyed for the perfect angle at the historic site. Soon, fists were flying and family members jumped in, turning the argument into a brawl that four police officers had to break up. Eight people were reportedly charged over the fight, which thankfully only resulted in some bruising.
Holy cow.
Any sort of selfie fights that you saw when you were on vacation? Everybody behaved themselves as far as you can tell?
I'm still in chill mode. You know, I spent like 10 days in Hawaii.
Right.
And the last part of it was on Kauai.
Right.
You know, really, only 70,000 people live there. It's very chill.
Yeah,
you know, I'm in a very chill mode right now. Not in fighting mode.
Maybe it's possible your location sort of has something to do with this, right?
Yeah.
If you're in Hawaii, it's very hard to get into a brawl over something as dumb.
It's true.
As a selfie spot.
Right.
Right?
Especially since everything shuts down, like, nightlife-wise at about 9:30.
Right.
The restaurants are empty. There's no nightlife at all, especially in Kauai.
Yeah.
Just go to bed. Eat and go to bed.
Sleep late. Eat a lot.
Trevi Fountain, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is where you face the fountain. We don't face it. You turn backwards.
Yeah.
With your back to the fountain and flip coins over your shoulder.
Yeah.
And that is supposed to indicate that at some point in the future, you will return.
Right.
This is not a place for fighting.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, you know, love and we'll be back. We love Italy. Wow.
When the light is right, you got to get that snap.
Escalated quickly. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. New research finds that the blue light emitted from the screens of cell phones and computers could accelerate blindness. Ongoing exposure to this light triggers a reaction in the eye's light-sensitive cells that can speed up damage from macular degeneration, a relatively common condition in older adults. A study in the journal Scientific Reports says it can cause blurred or no vision in the center of the visual field. It's no secret that blue light harms vision by damaging the eye's retina, but Newsweek says this experiment explains how it happens. Macular degeneration is caused by death of photoreceptor cells in the retina. Typical onset starts between age 50 and 60 and is the leading cause of vision loss in the U.S. One doctor says people who want to protect their eyes from blue light should avoid looking at their cell phones or other blue light emitting devices in the dark. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, aided by slightly cooler temperatures, firefighters are making steady progress in battling a wildfire that destroyed 16 structures as it raged through Southern California's Cleveland National Forest. The Holy Fire was 41% contained yesterday afternoon after burning across 35 square miles of dry timber and brush. This local resident offered thanks to firefighters for protecting her Lake Elsinore neighborhood.
To the firefighters, so emotional. You can't come back to this devastation and see all our homes still standing and not praise them, right?
If all goes as planned, Yosemite Valley, the national park's most popular tourist area, will reopen tomorrow after being closed for nearly 3 weeks due to poor air quality and fire danger. He cracked jokes, complimented the professional demeanor of an air traffic controller, and apologized for making a fuss. But the friendly tone of a 29-year-old airport worker who stole a commercial plane Friday night from SeaTac International Airport, performing Arab stunts before the fatal plunge into a thick island forest hid his desperate actions. Mike Matthews is a friend of Richard Russell, whom he called Bebo.
Childhood friend remarked that Bebo was loved by everyone because he was kind and gentle to each person he met. This is a complete shock to us. We are devastated by these events.
Authorities have confirmed that Russell died in the fiery wreckage, but whether the crash was deliberate or accidental is one of several topics remaining for investigators. Hundreds of people were hurt, five seriously, when a wooden platform collapsed at a seaside music festival in northwestern Spain last night. There were no reports of fatalities from the incident, which left over 260 people injured.
It was the largest shark that ever existed.
A living fossil.
Thought to have been extinct for over 2 million years.
Wrong.
The shark thriller The Meg opened well above expectations with an estimated $44.5 million in ticket sales. While Spike Lee had his best debut in a decade, The Meg had been forecast by some analysts for closer to half that amount. After 2 weeks at number one, Mission Impossible Fallout slid to second place with $20 million, and Spike Lee's critically acclaimed Black Klansman also opened strongly with $10.8 million.
The Meg, isn't that positioned as like a 90-foot shark patrolling the waters? I think I saw the trailer.
It's not supposed to be very good, but people went to see it.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. As summer car travelers are noticing, state transportation officials have developed a sense of humor with their digital road signs. The Wall Street Journal says traffic specialists are spicing up electronic billboards with snark, dad jokes, and the occasional eyebrow raiser. Missouri featured "Hit the Road, Jack, Don't Text Back No More" on digital billboards this summer. Officials in Maine programmed a sign to read "Spend Money on Lobsters, Not Speeding Tickets," and they spelled lobster phonetically. Lisa Miller, the Utah DOT Traveler Information Manager, says her agency caused a stir with "Get Your Head Out of Your Apps." In Boston, the Massachusetts Department of Transportation posted one said "Wicked Tough Travels" and "Use Ya Blinka." In Iowa, regarding the use of directionals, one sign said, "Did you run out of blinker fluid?" For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.